Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, if you'd like to contact the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time or HOT, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, a wonderful website full of research materials, articles, news exclusives, archives, is hourofthetime.com. That's hourofthetime.com. My personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and the studio number is 928-333-2942. Again, that's 928-333-2942. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you watch the website, I'm sure you've noticed that we've been doing a lot of work onto the delegation of authority, jurisdictional issues, land rights issues. The crux of almost all tyrannical law and seizing of our rights and our republic from us comes under the guise of that delegation of authority or lack thereof, jurisdiction or lack thereof, and property rights. Because you have nothing without property. And I'm not talking real estate or real property versus property rights. Those are three separate entities in the law. Now, to help you better understand this, we've been doing substantial amounts of work on the website and on video. Now, of course, you need to go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and look at these Veritas exclusives. If you're lacking in knowledge here, which you better not be, especially with what's coming down the pike in this country, you need to start with our archives, and most notably, go to the exclusive of the 18th of November of 06, just recently, and the newest one, the 26th of November of 06, our Hour of the Time and Veritas News exclusives concerning delegation of authority. Also, to help you in your understanding, many of us out here are trotting away the few for the many, as usual, when it comes to freedom, to help you win the fight on these issues. A good place for you to start, as well, in a video format, is our recently introduced, just a week ago, 4-DVD set on property rights. Again, hourofthetime.com. You can see the ad for it and go to our link directly to our Hot shopping cart, or go to the Hot shop if you want and look around there. This 4-DVD set, ladies and gentlemen, is an extensive coverage from people of the likes of Dr. Angus McIntosh, Doctorate of Land Rights and Property Rights, Sheriff Richard Mack, Daniel Martinez, myself, covering in a full all-day seminar, which I filmed, and then we produced with chapters, indexes, titles, etc., the entire full-day seminar into a 4-DVD set. Now, because we're listener-supported, we know that you need good materials. Otherwise, you don't have a reason to support us, let's say. Many of you take for granted that there's constant overhead. electricity, phone, water, heat, airtime. All these things are overhead, day after day after day. Storage fees for our vast library. All this adds up. Many people out there, though, don't see that. So, since we are listener-supported, we constantly strive here at the Hour of the Time to bring you research materials, etc., that you can use. Cutting-edge research. Not bullshit like you see on most every network out there. True research, backed up, cited, examples given, much like our Veritas exclusives and this 4-DVD set. Now, you need to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. And through your support, we're able to constantly expand. We have the opportunity to hold, in January, a 2-day seminar with 5 different doctorates in various areas of research from various universities around the country on riparian law and appropriation laws, on property rights and economic impact of government fiscal policies on counties and towns. We can't hold these events and seminars that are open to the public and at very mild fees. The last one, $10, and was the whole seminar and a full deep pit barbecue meal for lunch. $10 was all it was at the door, let alone all the materials people got when they walked in the door for use throughout the day. Court cases to follow the instructors along, PowerPoint presentations, etc. Well, we can't do these seminars to help our country and our fight for the Republic without your support. So we're giving you good, cutting-edge, brand-new materials. Now you need to step up and do your part. You can either write the address with the money order, gold, silver, what have you. Contact me if you want to barter. We're always bartering. Go through PayPal on the website if you prefer that method of using credit. That's up to you. I can't tell you not to because a lot of people do it. But think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Think about the work we put into this. And last, but definitely not least, is our documentary, The Hour of Our Time, the official, the only official documentary of William Bill Cooper's life, works, demise, murder, professionally done, filmed, edited in professional studios, not us doing it here in Eager, professional studios, professional film crews, professional equipment, fully designed graphics for the cover and the disc, a regular, on par with the biggest production studios release of Hour of the Time called Hour of Our Time, the documentary or legacy of Bill William Cooper, his works, his life, his demise. Again, we're listener supported. Many of you have asked and asked and asked. And I've done countless interviews, thousands of times I've typed answers to questions concerning this issue. Here is our last and final word on it. I've done interviews on almost every network and host conceivable out there on the issue of Bill and his life and works and his murder. Here is the official release. You need to get in there and get it. Supplies are limited. And this is an introductory price right now of $30 postage paid. Sent first class or priority, depending on where you live and or even what country you live in, dictates that. Air letter post is the fastest and insured method. You need to get that. You can either, again, write the P.O. box, barter, call them barter if you like. 928-333-2942, the address again, Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. And again, the number again, 928-333-2942. Just be courteous. The machine does not handle entire Supreme Court cases or life histories. Give me your contact information, name, purpose of the phone call immediately. And stick to the point. Don't drag it on to 9 or 10 messages and keep recording. and calling back, because you're just only going to likely not get a reply by doing that. Email me, hourthetime@hotmail.com. Now, many of us behind the scenes worked extensively on this, from the conference, these seminars, these DVDs, the documentary. Years has gone into a lot of these projects. This, ladies and gentlemen, it cannot be impressed upon you enough, the times that we are in. You need to get involved. You need to get educated. You need to get active, proactive. Freedom is responsibility, ladies and gentlemen. And if you do not take responsibility, you have no one to blame with the course of things around you and what they take if you sit back waiting for someone else to do it for you. You are the problem. Now, because of this huge void in knowledge throughout this country and around this world on the basic premises coming from common law of man's inherent rights. Rights, not privileges that can be taken by the state. Rights. We have embarked on these battles to save our republic, to save freedom around the world. We don't want to be the only free country in America. We want all people to enjoy the freedoms of a constitutional republic, not a democracy or mobocracy that leads to socialism, but a free republic. Because of that, the Veritas exclusives, most notably the recent ones, because of this evident lack of knowledge out there and a lot of patriot bullshit floating around, quite honestly, to the point I'm ashamed to be labeled a patriot anymore, because of the amount of rumors and lies abound. There was a reason there was a broadcast entitled that. You need to get active, get educated in the correct manner. And that's what we're doing for you. Get involved. And because of this lack of knowledge out there and this void out there, I have some special audio programming coming up, like tonight's. It'll be much less prefatory comment, unlike tonight's, right into the core knowledge on subsequent broadcast. But you need to understand the foundation and reasoning behind it, and you need to understand that we're listener-supported. We have no commercials, corporate sponsors, magic wonder healing oils, overpriced gold and silver coins from end times hucksters, magic oil treatments for your engines, supposed free energy devices. We don't hack that stuff so that we can just do as we will. We're listener supported. So don't call in, please. So, ladies and gentlemen, keep that in mind. I'm going to go to musical break to unhook the call-in line during this broadcast so we can get into the core content tonight, which is land patents, what they are and how they work.
And take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. For her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom. Glory shall rest on us all. From Colorado, Kansas, and the Carolinas too, Virginia and Alaska, from the old and to the new, Texas and Ohio and the California shore. Tell me who could ask for more, for here is a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. Oh, her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. Yet she's only as rich as the poorest of the poor, only as free as the padlocked prison door, only as strong as our love for this land, only as tall as we stand. For here's a land full of power and glory, beauty that words cannot recall. For her power shall rest on the strength of her freedom, glory shall rest on us all. Come on.
Come on and take a walk with me through this green and growing land. Walk through the meadows and the mountains and the sand. Walk through the valleys and the rivers and the plains. Walk through the sun and walk through the rain. Here is a land full of power and glory. Beauty that words cannot recall. Oh, her power showers on the strength of her freedom. Glory showers on us all. On us all.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, again you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona. Now, land patents. There's a lot of misnomers, misinformation out there concerning what is a land patent. And although these couple of audio broadcasts on this subject are going to be a mere overview, we are in the midst of, and almost done actually, I have it all on the computer. Unfortunately, somehow I ended up with every page on a separate PDF. I need it like in one PDF multi-page file. If someone wants to call and let me know how to do that. A document on how to secure a land patent, but a vast amount of the information and background research and knowledge from doctorate-degreed people in this area, not just researchers like myself that some people will blow off or think is a paltry effort even though we share a lot of our research with these doctors and teach them as well as they teach us. But we've worked with these academia because there is a small segment out there, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, if you do your research and are intent on securing our freedoms under our constitutional republic, you can find these people that are willing to work with us. We're proving it. I would suggest you get the 4-DVD set. We've got all these. I've been doing vast amounts of sales and updates on the shopping carts. Rob and I and Terry and everybody behind the scenes has worked extensively to bring you a massive amount of information over these last, since August, let's say. So you have good alternatives for holiday gifts if you do that type of thing. You don't have to buy Chinese-made junk for people. You can buy them information. Video presentations, etc. The Hour of Our Time, the documentary, the 4-DVD set on property rights. It's absolutely amazing, the information that we have, if you'll only support us and help us get it out more. We should be heard all over the world on AM and FM, shortwave, satellite, but we're not due to lack of support. But we keep trying, and that's what you need to do with us. Now, land patents, what are they? How do they work? You first need to have some history, I believe, to understand where they even came from. The 1600s? Where'd they come from? The 1700s? Was it something William Blackstone just invented? Why are so many properties, ranches, in rural city areas, both, foreclosed on? Why is it increasing at phenomenal rates? And why, most notably, since the 1930s in this country? The land patent, or fee simple title to the land and the congressional intent that accompanies the patent, is what we're going to present. But again, to properly evaluate the patent in any given situation, you have to understand what the patent is, why it was created, what existed before the patent, particularly in common law England, ladies and gentlemen. Without that understanding, you can't effectively assert your rights. This understanding helps you to realize the association between the government, the land, and the people. What existed before land patents? The common law English land titles, for instance, the converse of it. Then you'll understand, when you have a background to that, what you can have through actual ownership of land. Now in England, up through the mid-1600s, and definitely until William Blackstone's time in the mid-1700s, property was exclusively owned by the king. In arbitrary governments, the title is held by and springs from the supreme head, the emperor, the king, the potentate, the prince, whatever he was known by. McConnell versus Wilcox, 344-367, year 1837. Now the king was the true and complete owner. It gave him the authority to take and grant the land from the people in his kingdom who either lost or gained his favor. The authority to take the land may have required a justifiable reason, but such a reason could conceivably have been fabricated by the king leaving the former holder of the land wondering what it was that had brought the king's wrath to bear upon him. At the same time, the beneficiary of such a gift, while undoubtedly knowing the circumstances behind such a gift, may still not have known how the facts were discovered, and not knowing how such facts occurred, may have been left to wonder if the same fate awaited him if he ever fell into disfavor with the king, the emperor, the potentate, the dictator. The king's gifts were called fiefs, which is described as an estate in land held of a superior on condition of rendering him services. Second Blackstone's Commentaries, page 105. It is also described as an inheritable right to the use and occupation of lands held on condition of rendering services to the lord or proprietor who himself retains the ownership in the lands. Black's Law Dictionary, 4th edition, page 748, 1968. Thus, the people had land they occupied, devised, inherited, alienated, or disposed of as they saw fit, so long as they remained in favor with the king. F. L. Gonshiff's Feudalism, page 113, 1964, quote, this holding of lands under another was called a tenure, and was not limited to the relation of the first or paramount lord or vassal, but extended to those to whom such vassal, within the rules of feudal law, may have parted out his own feud to his own vassals, whereby he became the mince lord between his vassals and his own, or lord paramount. Those who held directly to the king were called his tenants-in-chief. E. Washburn, Treatise on the American Law of Real Property, Chapter 2, Section 58, page 42, 6th edition. In this manner, the lands which had been granted out to the barons' principal lands were again subdivided and granted by them to sub-feudatories to be held of themselves. Ibid, Section 65, page 44. And again, that Ibid is from the Treatise of the American Law of Real Property, E. Washburn, 6th edition. The size of the gift of the land could vary from a few acres to thousands of acres, depending on the power and prestige of the lord. The fiefs were built in the same manner as a pyramid, with the king, the true owner of the land, being at the top, and from the bottom up there existed a system of small to medium-sized to large-sized estates, on which the person directly beneath one estate owned homage to the lord of that estate as well as to the king. Section 114, 6th edition, Treatise on the American Law of Real Property, Washburn. At the lowest level of this pyramid, through at least the 14th and the 15th centuries, existed desserts or villains, the class of people that had no rights and were recognized nothing more than real property. Treatise of Law of Real Property, Chapter 11 by Goodwin, page 10. This system of hierarchical landholdings required an elaborate system of payment. These fiefs of the land might be recompenses in any number of ways. One of the more common types of fiefs, or the payment of a rent or obligation to perform rural labor upon the lord's land, known as socage, was the crops fief. Under this type of fief, a certain portion of the grain harvested each year would immediately be turned over to the lord above that particular fief, even before the shares of the lower lords and then serfs or the fief would be distributed. A more interesting type of fief for purposes of this study was the money fief. In most cases, the source of money was not specified and the payment was simply made from the fief holder's treasury. But the fief might also consist of a fixed revenue to be paid from a definite source in annual payments in order for the tenant owner of the fief to be able to remain on the property. Gilsbey of Mons, Chronique, page 109 and 175. Vanderkinder. The title held by such tenant owners over their land was described as a fee simple absolute. Fee simple, fee, cometh of the French fief, praedium beneficarium, and legally significant inheritance, as our author himself hereafter expoundeth it, and simple is added, for that it is descendable to the heirs generally, that is, simply without restraint to the heirs of their body or the like. In Domesday it is called feudum, or fee simple. And under section 11, if you look again at Vanderkinder, fee simple is described as the largest form of inheritance. In modern English tenures, the term fee signifies an inheritance estate, being the highest and most extensive interest the common man or noble, other than the king, could have in the feudal system. That can be seen in 2 Blackstone's Commentaries, page 106. Thus the term fee simple absolute in common law England denotes the most and best title a person could have as long as the king allowed him to retain possession of the land. It has been commented that the basis of English land law is ownership of all realty by the sovereign. From the crown all titles flow. The original and true meaning of the word fee, and therefore fee simple absolute, is the same as fief or feud, this being in contradiction to the term allodium, which means or is defined as a man's own land which he possesses merely in his own right without owing any rent or service to any superior. Wendell versus Crandall, 1st New York, 491. Therefore, on common law England, practically everybody who was allowed to retain land had the type of fee simple absolute often used or defined by courts, a fee simple that grants or gives the occupier as much of a title as the sovereign or king or ruler allows such occupier to have at the time. The term became a synonym, with the supposed ownership of land under the feudal system of England. Thus, even though the word absolute was attached to the fee simple, it merely denoted the entire estate that could be assigned or passed to their heirs, and the fee being the operative word. Fee simple absolute dealt with the entire fief and its divisibility, divisibility, alienability, and inheritability. Friedman versus Steiner, 107, 131. If a fee simple absolute in common law England denoted or was synonymous with only as much title as the king allowed his barons to possess, then what did the king have by way of a title? The king of England held ownership of land under a different title and with far greater powers than any of his subjects. Though the people of England held fee simple titles to their land, the king actually owned all the land in England through his allodial title. Allodial title. And though all the land was in the feudal system, none of the fee simple titles were of equal weight and dignity with the king's title, the land always remaining allodial in favor of the king. Thus, it is relatively easy to deduce that allodial land and titles are the highest form of the lands and title known to common law. An estate or of inheritance without condition, belonging to the owner and unalienable by him, transmissible to his heirs, absolutely and simply, is an absolute estate in perpetuity and the largest possible estate a man can have being in fact allodial in its nature. Stanton versus Sullivan, 63 Rhode Island, 696. The original meaning of a perpetuity in an unalienable, indestructible interest. Also Bouvier's Law Dictionary, Volume 3, page 2570. The king has such a title and land. As such, during the classical feudalistic period of common law England, the king answered to no one concerning the land. Allodial titles being held by sovereigns and being full and complete titles allowed the king of England to own and control the entire country in the form of one large estate belonging to the crown. Allodial states owned by individuals exercising full and complete ownership, on the other hand, existed only to a limited extent in the county of Kent. In summary of common law England, 1. The king was the only person, sovereign, to hold complete and full title to a land, allodial title. 2. The people who maintained estates of land, either called manors or fiefs, held title by fee simple absolute. 3. This fee simple absolute provided the means by which the supposed owner could devise, alienate, or pass by inheritance the estates of land, manors, or fiefs. This fee simple absolute in feudal England, being not full title, did not protect the so-called owner if the king found disfavor with the owner. The owner, as it was called, therefore had to pay a type of homage to the king or a higher baron each year to discharge the obligation of his fief. 6. This homage of his fief could take the form of a revenue or tax, an amount of grain, or a set and permanent amount of money. 7. And therefore, as long as the so-called owner of the fief in fee simple absolute paid homage to the king or sovereign who held the entire country under an allodial title, then the owner, as it was called, could remain on the property with full rights to sell, devise, or pass it by inheritances if the property was really his. Now, do you see that relationship in history, ladies and gentlemen? As long as you paid tribute to the king, the ruler, the emperor, then you could retain your so-called ownership. Did you actually retain any property rights? No, not absolutely. That's why it was fee absolute. Fee absolute, or fee simple absolute, versus allodial title. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick musical break here. And after that musical break, now that you have some background foundation of where these terms come from, of fiefs and taxations on land, tributes, homage to the emperor, the king, the government, and its strings attached, we will now move up into America's system of land ownership, where its rights are founded and what they are specifically. So be sure to stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hour of the Time. We'll be right back. gentlemen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time here with your host, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Now, ladies and gentlemen, again, to contact the Hour of the Time, you do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, we now move up to private ownership of land in America. It's one of those rights people proclaim to be essential in maintaining this republic. But the question arises and has to be discussed as to whether ownership of land in America today really is a true and complete ownership of land under an allodial concept, or is it something much different? In other words, are we living in an actual allodial freehold, or are we living in an updated version of a feudalistic common law? And I think most of you know the answer, and if you don't, you'll know with a little more research. The answer is crucial in determining what rights we have in the protection of our realty against improper seizures and encumbrances by our government and creditors. The answer is extremely clear upon proper reflection of our rights when payments are missed on mortgages or taxes for whatever reason are not paid. If mortgage payments are missed or taxes are not paid, we actually fall into disfavor with the parties who have the power, and these powers, through court proceedings or otherwise, take our land as a penalty. When one understands, if he is unable to perform as the government request, and for such failures of performance his land can be forfeited, then he can begin to understand exactly what type of land ownership system controls their life, and he should recognize the inherent unjustness of such constitutional violations. The American-based system of land ownership today consists of three key requirements. These three are the warranty deed, or some other type of deed purporting to convey ownership of land, title abstracts to chronologically follow the development of these different types of deeds to a piece of property, and title insurance to protect the ownership of that land. These three ingredients must work together to ensure a systematic and orderly conveyance of a piece of property. None of these three by itself can act to completely convey possession of the land from one person to another, nor do any of these convey property rights or true ownership. Yet does the absolute title and therefore the ownership of the land really pass from the seller to purchaser with the use of any of these three instruments or in any combination thereof? None of the three by itself passes the absolute or allodial title to the land, the system of land ownership America originally operated under. And even combined, all three cannot convey this absolute type of ownership. What then is the function of these three instruments that are used in land conveyances today, and what type of title is conveyed by the three? Since the abstract only traces the title and the title insurance only insures the title, the most important, therefore, first group to examine are the deeds that purportedly convey the fee from seller to purchaser. These deeds include some of the following: warranty deeds, quit claim deed, sheriff's deed, trustee deed, judicial deed, tax deed, WIG, or any other instrument that purportedly conveys the title. All of these documents state that it conveys the ownership to the land. Each of these, however, is actually a color of title. G. Thompson, Title to Real Property, Preparation and Examination of Abstracts, Chapter 3, Section 73, page 93. A color of title is that which in appearance is title, but which in reality is not title. Wright versus Madison, 1850th U.S. In fact, any instrument may constitute color of title when it purports to convey the title of the land as well as the land itself, although it is void as a monument of title. Joplin Brewing Company versus Payne, 197, number 422. The Supreme Court of Missouri has stated, quote, that when we say a person has a color of title, whatever may be the meaning of the phrase, we express the idea, at least, that some act has been previously done by which some title, good or bad, to a parcel of land of definite extent has been conveyed to him. St. Louis versus Gorman, 29th Missouri, 593. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, a color of title is an appearance or apparent title, an image of the true title, hence the phrase, color of, which, when coupled with possession, purports to convey the ownership of the land to the purchaser. This, however, does not say that the color of title is the actual and true title itself, nor does it say that the color of title itself actually conveys ownership. In fact, the claimant or holder of a color of title is not even required to trace the title through the chain down to his instrument. Rawson versus Fox, 65 Illinois, 200. Rather, it may be said that a color of title is prima facie evidence of ownership of and rights to possession of land until such time as that presumption of ownership is disapproved by a better title or the actual title itself. If such cannot be proven to the contrary, then ownership of the land is assumed to have passed to occupier of the land. To further strengthen a color title holder's position, courts have held that the good faith of the holder to a color of title is presumed in the absence of evidence to the contrary. David versus Hall, 92nd Illinois. Also, Morrison versus Norman, 47th Illinois, and McConnell versus Street, 17th Illinois. With this knowledge of what a color of title is, it becomes interesting what constitutes colors of title. A warranty deed is like any other deed of conveyance. Marvin Holes versus County Board of School Trustee of Lawrence County, 1981. A warranty deed or deed of conveyance is a color of title, as stated in Dempsey versus Burns. Deeds constitute colors of title. See also Dryden versus Newman. A deed that purports to convey interest in the land is a color of title. Hinckley versus Green. A deed which, on its face, purports to convey a title constitutes a claim and color of title. Bush versus Houston, Chicking versus Fales, a quick claim deed is a color of title stated in Safford versus Stubbs, also Huey versus Clark and McKellen versus Kellogg. Quick claim deeds can pass the title as effectively as a warrant with full covenants. Grant versus Bennett, also Morgan versus Clayton, Brady versus Spurk, Butterfield versus Smith. Sheriff's deeds are also colors of title. Kendrick versus Latham, as is a judicial deed. See Holes versus Bunton. The Illinois Supreme Court went into detail in its determination that a tax deed is only color of title. Quote, there the complainant seems to have relied upon the tax deed as conveying to him the fee, and to sustain such a bill it was incumbent of him to show that all the requirements of the land had been complied with, end quote. A simple tax deed by itself is only a color of title. Fee simple can only be acquired through adverse possession via payment of taxes. Claim and color of title plus 7 years of payment of taxes. Thus, any deed purports on its face to convey title is a good color of title. Walker versus Converse, also Pedro versus Carricker, Chicago versus Middlebrook, Piatt County versus Gooden, Stubblefield versus Borders, Coleman versus Billings, Whitney versus Stevens, Thomas versus Eckerd, Holloway versus Clark. All those are cases, ladies and gentlemen, substantiating that. And a will passes only a color of title. as can be seen in Baldwin versus Ratcliffe or Bradley versus Reese. A wig can pass only so much as the testator owns, though it may attempt to pass more. And a trustee's deed, a mortgage, and strict foreclosure can be found in Chickering versus Fales, or any document defining the extent of a deceaser's claim or purported claim. That can be found in Cook versus Norton. All have been held to be colors of title. In fact, there is nothing here requiring a deed to establish a color of title, and under the former decisions of this court, color of title may exist without a deed. That can be found in Baldwin versus Radcliffe, County of Piatt versus Goodall, Smith versus Ferguson, Hassett versus Ridgely, Brooks versus Bruin, McCagg versus Haycock, Bride versus Watt, and Woodward versus Blanchard. All of these cases being still valid, ladies and gentlemen, and none of them, by the way, having been overruled, makes these cases and the statements therein well-established law. All of these documents, ladies and gentlemen, described in these cases are the main avenues of claimed land ownership in America today. Yet none actually conveys the true or allodial title. They in fact convey something quite different. When we state, ladies and gentlemen, that a color of title conveys only an appearance of or apparent title, such a statement is correct. But rather vague to be properly understood in a correct or complete legal context. Therefore, a title or color of title, in order to be effective in transferring the ownership or purported ownership of the land, must be marketable or merchantable titles. More pragmatic statements are needed and are necessary, ladies and gentlemen, for a complete understanding. Today's broadcast is a mere overview, historical, and case law reference beginning for you to understand where and what is the historical background of ownership through English common law, how did it move to America, and how was it changed into color of title under color of law. Not true allodial title or allodial ownership or land, patented land. And when you understand the history of land or private property ownership versus what was intended by the Constitution in an American Republican system versus once more, what we have today, you can see where we've deviated. And you can see why, through proper research, you can assert your rights, not privileges, but rights to secure your private properties, and hence secure your property rights themselves. And that is why we do what we do here at the Hour of the Time. Now again, for reference, I suggest everyone use not only tonight's broadcast, but also our History of Property Rights audio series that we did just back in July and August. A wonderful set of CDs, as well as this one's available for donation. To give you an idea and the foundation, the laws on how to proceed in determining what type of real estate that you have and what type of purported ownership do you have, and then how do you rectify the situation? How do you make it constitutional? How do you make it binding? And there is where, again, our property rights audio series on CD comes in, Also, the newly released 4-DVD set on property rights, and forthcoming broadcast and DVDs here on the Hour of the Time. All this research and episodes or video, audio presentations combine to form your basis of knowledge, your foundation of what ownership is and what property rights are versus real estate versus realty. That's the three big cruxes. And in fact, on the DVDs, some wonderful cases that Dr. Angus McIntosh and myself discussed, he highlights on the DVDs, giving the exact cases, years, names, etc., showing how three people in three different cases, really with the same argument, how they had three different outcomes in front of the same Supreme Justices. Two cases losing absolutely because they argued the wrong point. And the third gentleman unanimously winning the same type of case under the same nine judges only 5 months later. Why? Because he understood the issue at hand and asserted his rights. He established his rights from the very beginning, and hence unanimous victory in front of the Supreme Court judges, versus just 5 months prior, two people with the exact same types of cases unanimously losing. And that's found, again, on our 4-DVD set, Property Rights, the Property Rights Seminar. Now, many of you will be wondering, well, how do I go about patenting my own land? You have to go through a chain and series of events. Now, to fully understand all this, you have to be knowledgeable on the topics that we're covering right now in our Veritas exclusives. Delegation of authority, jurisdiction. Although we've conveyed every bit of this knowledge in the past via the airwaves, in written form, in seminars, face-to-face, conferences, we're redoing it all because it seems a lot of people forgot the very fundamentals of where our rights stem from and how your rights are taken away through lack of understanding. And then, in subsequent broadcasts here on the Hour of the Time, you'll get a more in-depth analysis, a step-by-step, if you will, of allodial title and land patents. We have those materials, as I stated earlier, ready to bind. I just need a little help on the computer if someone out there wants to offer me the advice on getting the 86 pages of PDFs in one PDF file that's multiple paged, much like you might receive from a company or something. I want to do that so it can be sent as one large document to someone that they request, or easier for us to print out and offer in printed form via the mail for those of you who'd rather have it in that form. And many of you do, and we know that. So if someone has a hint on how I can do that, combine those PDFs into one large file, please contact me, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, or call the studio, 928-333-2942. But the information's already done and available with sample forms and declarations and statements. And again, without the proper assertion of your rights and establishing that embarkation or de-embarkation line of various jurisdictions, you can't assert or properly have any rights whatsoever. That is the key, ladies and gentlemen, to all this. Now, we're going to sign off for this evening. We've given you a lot that I hope you took notes on to look over and digest. And I want you to do that, and I want you to do the research, look up the court cases, that's why we gave them to you, verify what we've said. And then you'll then have full understanding of the ramifications and background history. And without that, you can't assert your rights. It's impossible, ladies and gentlemen. You can't just go about, banner about, listen to some very hacked up broadcast on some network full of commercial airtime and think that you suddenly have the full history and understanding and you're going to run out and take on every authority, starting at the municipality all the way to the federal government, and declare that you have a land patent. What you'll effectively do is compromise all of your rights, because you'll argue a point that isn't a matter of the case at hand. And that is the biggest pitfall that people make most commonly in this country. And hence, because you signed something, now you are trapped. You are trapped, and you've just admitted in law that you don't own something or don't have a right to something. And ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, with the Hour of the Time. I want to thank you for tuning in. Remember, we're listener-supported. Our website, hourofthetime.com. My personal email, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. The studio number, 928-333-2942.
Dangerous than these appliances is the praxis behind them. Ages old, the underground current which informs the modern project and this modern era. You see, for life in our modern era is little more than life in an open-air mind control laboratory. To transform the mass of targeted percipients plugged into the electronic and digital pageantry of the establishment's system of things into the perfect human zombie. They disguised their true, into their true teachings, the esoteric, with a system of exoteric. Now, to the profane would mean one thing, and to the initiate or the adept would mean quite another. But that was then. This is now.
You're already in the New World Order.
What sort of creature inhabits the modern domain? Who is the modern man? He is the smartest, most advanced individual to ever strut the planet, the most relatively liberated being in history. He scoffs with great division at the idea of the existence and operation of a technology of mass mind control emanating from the media and government. Modern man believes that he is much too smart to believe anything as superstitious as that. But the truth is, modern man